So let's begin. I'm going to learn tonight a beautiful piece from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Parshas Nayach. And of course, we're keeping it relevant to the matzav that we're all experiencing, this terrible war that we're living through, and the atrocities. And we'll try to take some strong takeaways from this piece tonight. Okay, so Rav Pinkus starts with a pasuk that Nayach came into the Teva mipnei meha mabel, because of the waters of the mabel. That's what actually pushed Nayach into the Teva. And Rashi famously says, and it's one of the most difficult Rashis, I think, in Chumash to really understand. Rashi says in the words of mipnei meha mabel, af Nayach, this is on page Sadi Aleph, af Nayach miktani emana haya, Nayach was also from the Ktane Emana. He was from the not fully faithful. He was the Ktane Emana. Emana is, if you have Emuna, he was from the Ketanim of Emuna. Amazing. After all that we know about Nayach, the Rashi is castigating him as being somebody that lacked a certain degree of Emuna. Maimon ve'ena maimon. He believed, but he didn't believe. Sheyave amabel. And he didn't enter into the Teva until the waters actually pushed him in. That's what it means, mipnei meha mabel. He didn't go in on his own volition. He went in when all of a sudden he had no choice but to go in, because he also was not fully believing that that the mabel would come. And rak kishamayim yardu b'fal v'dachku, says Rav Pinkus, only when the waters came and literally swept him into the Teva, then hem and Nayach she'achen gezeras ha'mabel ba'alaylam, that indeed the gezera of the mabel is coming to the world, and that's when the entire Teva embarked. Very, very difficult Rashi to understand. There's a lot of very cute pshetloch in the Rashi. I've seen people move the comma in this Rashi. It's so difficult to understand this Rashi. Some people move the comma and they say, af neach miktane emana haya maimon, comma. He was maimon even in the ktane emana. Even the people that didn't have him, when he believed in them, ve'ena maimon sheva mavle, meaning he was... But that's obviously not the simple reading of Rashi. Rashi seems to be saying about Nayach that he is Miktani Amon. Amazing. How is it possible? Ish Tzadik Tamim. He was, the Torah calls him Ish Tzadik Tamim. You know, another very difficult Rashi to understand in the parasha is right at the beginning, that all of a sudden, like the Torah says about Nayach, he was an Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya B'dayreisav. Esa Likim Masachan. No greater, I don't think anyone is complimented more in the Torah than Nayach, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, if you look in Rashi says, there's Rabbi Seinu, there's some rabbis that say it's a good thing, some people say it's a bad thing, that Nayach was a tzaddik in his generation, but if he'd been in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't be Nechshav L'Klum, he'd be like nothing. Like, hello, like the Torah itself, the rabbi, that if something's in the Torah, it's not like you and me write a, you know, give a title to somebody and, you know, write Harav HaGain. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes Harav HaGain about somebody, you could rest assured the guy is a rabbi and he's a gain. If I write Harav HaGain, it might be just he's a friend of mine, I'm just doing shtick, it doesn't mean anything. But if the Rabbi Hashem writes about you Harav HaGain, you're good. I would be very impressed if the Rabbi Hashem himself would write Harav HaGain. If the Rabbi Hashem writes about Nayach, he's tzaddik, Tomim, B'day Reisav, Esa, Lekim, Esagna, the whole pasuk of Shevach about, and yet still the rabbis found a way to like, to poke holes in it and to say, Shkayach, in that generation he was big. But if he'd be in Avraham Avinu's time, he'd be nothing. Not so nice, right? It's not such a nice, thing to do. It's really a Gemara in Sanhedrin. But it seems over here also, like after all we know about Nayach, he was an Ish Tzadik Tamim, and then Rashi right away takes aim at him and says that, yeah, but he was Miktani Amuna. He was a lightweight in Amuna. Not so Pashut. And also Shebanim Meshach Me'ev Esrim Shana Sateva. He built for a full 120 years, he built the Teva. It's a long, long process. B'Mesiris Nefesh. People were calling names at him. They were making fun of him. You old man. You're crazy. You're building an ark for a flood to come. Come on. And for Allah, I'm a miktani. Amana, such a man. You say about him so derisively that he's miktani. Amana. V'nir lefarish. Sir Pinkus says as follows: Shenayach chashav la'atzmai. Nayach is thinking to himself, listen, I know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's an Erech HaPayim. That we know, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is slow to anger. He doesn't fly off the handle like you and I. He's very tempered. He's very calm. Vada yimchav yisach berga achren v'yasek hashamar. It was just a threat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't mean it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatened because he wanted people to do tshuva, but in the last minute, Hashem is going to come around and he's gonna save the day in the end. He's not gonna bring a flood to the world. He's an Erech HaPayim. But that's considered v'zeh chisaron b'shleimus hamuna. That is wanting in terms of shleimus hamuna, the totality of hamuna. If you believe in God, you have to believe that if He says something, He's going to do it. You can't say, well, yeah, he threatened it, but he doesn't really mean it, and he's going to really come across, he's going to come through at the end. He's not going to wash away the whole generation of flood. Come on, he's a merciful God. He wouldn't do that. If Hashem says he's going to do it, emuna dictates you have to listen and believe that he's going to do it. And if you don't, and if you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, at the end of the day, undo what he does, and, sometimes, you have a teacher that threatens, I'm going to fail the whole class. And, part of you, no one gets nervous because, in the end, by the time finals come around, he's going to come around. It's not going to look good for him if he fails the whole class and he's not, he wouldn't do that. And there's some goody-goodies in the class. And he's not going to, it's fine. It'll be, in the end, it's going to all work out, right? So that's what Nayach basically thought about the revenge. Yeah, he's threatening about a Mabel. He's not going to do it in the end. And to that, Rashi says that he was miktani amona. That's considered, of course he believed in God. He spoke to God. He communicated with God. He followed God's orders for 120 years. He was building a teva b'mesiris nefesh. But in Nayach's mind, it wasn't going to happen at the end. Not that Rabbi Yisrael wasn't telling the truth, but he felt like in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gonna sort of save the world, come in as a white and knight in shining armor and like come and save the world. But that's a shleimus in amuna, he says. L'umasai, and to contrast that with a different personality in Tanakh, Mardechai Yehudi, Hayim Maimon Gadol. He was a real believer. He wasn't miktani amana Mardechai. Who hamin b'shleima shagzeira lahashmid larigul abedes kol yudim asilas kaim. When he heard that there was a gezeira, and he understood this is from the Rabbeinu Shlomo's gezeira, that Haman was going to do a terrible genocide, lahashmid larigul abed, that I believe that's happening. It's going to happen. If this is what's in front of us, we have to believe it. Amnam. Now, it's true. You're going to say, well, why did he believe it? Didn't he know that there's a Shua? Avram Avinu was promised, Yitzchak was promised, Yaakov was promised, that your children are going to continue and there's always going to be a Kiyum to Klal Yisrael. But because of the Kasha and the Taina of Tachasin, like Tzvatal Akzera, he didn't think that the gezer was going to necessarily be nisbatel. How is it going to be that, that's not up to him. But he believed that if there's a gezerah, and he knew that it was a heavenly decree, then I have to take it seriously, and I have to literally assume the worst. But how could he, that's not my cheshbon. If the Rabbeinu Shlomo says he's going to do something, or if I could divine that this is the gezerah Hashem, that what Haman is going to do is really the ratzon Hashem at this point, then I have to accept it, and I have to just really be petrified of it because it might just happen, and it will happen. This is what Hashem wants. Now, Yesh Lizak Ularia Beis Sara Luchnes Kal Yehudim Latzimut Tefila Lushav Apechas Reagzeh. Now, there's a gzeira. Now, how do you react to the gzeira? Do you say, "All right, don't worry about it; it'll be fine," Or do you say, no, 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 we have to gather the Jews, and we have to scream, we have to daven, we have to fast, and we have to overturn this terrible gezeira, because it will happen. That's emunah. Emunah is, I fully believe that this will happen. I fully believe that. If this is, you know, this terrible thing's going to happen. I can't assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Erech HaPayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it, or if we feel that this is what, then you have to assume the worst. And make plans and make provisions for the worst and do everything in your power to overturn the gezeirah. Mipnei Shemardechai Hemen Shaharoa Tavei V'Chashash Mepaneha Zach Levata. And because Mordechai believed in the spear that it was going to come, and he davened and he gathered Klal Yisrael, he was zeicha to mevatel it. V'ilum Nayach Mipnei Shekashay Lahamen. He wasn't doing any favors by giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu this, like, you know, get out of jail free pass. He wasn't doing that. He was doing himself a very big disservice and the whole dar, because he didn't take it too seriously. Shematzav hadar yishtana l'ra garam shiyeh mabel. He caused, in a sense, the mabel. How do you know that Noach caused the mabel? In the Haftarah of this week's parasha, it's going to say in Yishayah Nundal, ki mei Noach Zeisli, the waters of Nayach, the whole Mabel was called by after Nayach. It was the Mei Nayach. What is Mei Nayach? Because Nayach was responsible for the Mabel. He should have done everything in his power to believe that there's a Gzera, that it will happen, and do but he didn't. He sort of like said, it's not going to happen. He built the Teva. And he obviously he did have emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the gzeira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. He didn't waste 120 years for nothing, but he didn't take it as seriously as he could. If he would have taken it more seriously, he would have maybe been able to really get everybody together and do tshuva. But he didn't really feel that it was going to happen in the end, and possibly that's the answer that everybody has. How is it possible? You know, even if you're really bad at Kirov, let's say you're a horrible Kirov worker, but you have to imagine that over 120 years, you can get one guy. There's always that one guy that you can hop and, like, you know, even if you're not super charismatic, there's one guy you could probably find that would agree to be a little from. Noach was over 120 years giving Musar and trying to Makara people the Tevan, and he couldn't find one. There wasn't one guy that he was successfully able. Avraham Avinu was Megayer. The Rambam says, Alafim L'Ravavis, like tens of thousands of people, Avraham Avinu was able to be Megayer and be Makariv to the Rabbi Nisham. Noach, not one. It's just who? V'ishta, Yubana, V'ishta, V'nishem, that was it. Not no one else. What's the answer? How did that happen? He was so horrible in Kirov, he couldn't be... The answer is he didn't believe it. If you don't believe something, if you don't believe in something, you can't sell a product. If I believe in, in Rapinkas Asarim, and I go out and I'm a door-to-door salesman, I'm going to sell people on this because they feel that I love it and I could sell it to you. If let's say I'm selling a safe that I really don't hold it. Like, people could feel it. They could... If they feel that, you know, you're giving Musar, but you don't really believe that there's a Mabul coming, in the end it's going to probably just go away, so, you know, it's not impressive. Nobody's like, no one's going to change their lifestyle if they see that the salesman of this is not really a user of the product. He doesn't really believe in it. Gambidai Reinu, says Rav Pinkas, Tzarech kol echa lashkia bechi udemais. This is very important to what we're going through in these times that we're living in, these crazy, crazy times. You know, a lot of times we think that, you know, I mean, there was a terrible gezeira on Simchas Torah. It's unspeakable, and I think we're all... I could speak for myself, but I see everyone's faces. Like, I think everybody in yeshiva and everybody that I know, everybody's just, like, different. Since that happened, it was like we lost a little piece of ourselves. We lost some of our something. We lost something. We lost a lot. But there's a gzeira. Something happened. I don't know what it was, you know. nobody knows, I don't think, but there's a tain in Shemayim, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, because al pi derech hateva, this whole thing makes no sense. Makes no sense. I mean, whoever you speak to, I was speaking to Professor Singer today about it and whatever, just like, it doesn't make sense, the whole thing. The Israeli army, for 6 hours, for 8 hours, they were allowing, you know, Arabs to just like run rampant over the south, the southern communities, and killing men, women, and child, raping, bringing them back into Gaza. Like, you couldn't do, you know, if an Arab like does something crazy on in any street in Yerushalayim or in the West Bank or whatever, he's shot in 3 seconds. Like, it's not all of a sudden like not, there was a complete breakdown of like what how do you understand it? There's no computers, there's no satellites all of a sudden. The Shin Bet doesn't know what's going on in Gaza. They know every single person's, you know, middle initial, and they didn't know that there was this, you know, and they were able to break through these billion-dollar security fences, and they're able to go and just have their way for hours and hours. Where are the cops? People were calling the police and the army, and they didn't come. And there's going to be investigations after the war is over, and there's going to be committees and this and that, you know. But for us, B'nai Torah, like, what? How do we look at it? What's the Hashkafas HaTorah about this? Like, you know, not from a Balabatisha perspective of like, you know, what would Gedalia Yisrael say about this? I think there's only one thing. I don't know, but I would assume that there's only one mahal. There's not like many options on the table to choose from. The only option from a Ben Torah's perspective is that it's a gzeira himilfane. It's a gzeira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to happen. It wasn't a normal thing that happened. It was a once in a billion years that, you know, that the Arabs should be able to be so successful and be able to get in by land, by sea, by air, like to have these gliders with, you know, I don't know if you saw videos, like they have videos of the concert, that big outdoor concert that everybody's talking about, and you see in the background, like did you see this? They have like these gliders, like a whole team of gliders. You see it in the background, like the people of the concert probably thought these were just people that were enjoying the, you know, doing gliding in the desert, a beautiful thing. These are people, they were able to go over a wall at the same time that there was, you know, thousands of Arabs running right through the front door of the Gaza Strip into Eretz Yisrael with trucks, with jeeps, with, I don't know, and bring back, it doesn't, the whole thing, it's a gzeira, period, that's it. There's no, they will do investigations and heads will roll and they're going to, you know, but at the end of the day, between me, you, and the Rabbi Nishlam, there's only one Eitzah, there's only one option on the table, and that's it. It's an inexplainable gezeira. It's not the only time in history that these things happened. There was, you know, there was the burning of the 24 cartloads of Gemaras that happened in France in the, what year did that happen? Anyone know? Okay, so and what did the and it happened on Parshas what? Friday, Parshas Chukas, and who is it that writes it? Is it the Magen Avraham or something? What's the targum on Parshas Chukas? Dahi Gezeira Dairaisla. This is the Gezeira Dairaisla. This is what the Rabbeinu Shalom decreed, that there should be 24 cartloads of Shas. In a time that everything was written by hand, there weren't that many shas in the world, and 24 cartloads were gathered and burned in a public square in France, in Paris. It's a gzeira. Sometimes these things happen, pogroms and inquisitions and holocausts. Sometimes the Rabbi Nishlam just is very angry about something, and that's what this is. That's all it is. So, and now there's a milchama, and we don't know how it's going to end. We think it's going to end. It's a made-for-TV movie, and it's going to end perfectly, and we're going to, you know, and we don't have to really doubt, because now everything is back. The terrorists were all killed outside. The cities were cleared. And now it's just a matter of just bombardment, and then afterwards they'll go in, there'll be a cakewalk. No, that's not how things work. If you believe that, then you're Miktanei Amana. If you don't understand that there is a gezeira, and we're still in the gezeira, it doesn't end just because that first wave happened. Don't you see that there's, you know, they're still bombing, you know, the vaunted Iron Dome that was so, people were so, you know, confident, and it doesn't work. It works a lot, but it doesn't always work. Now you see every day there's buildings in Ashkelon or in Sderot or whatever, they're getting bombed. Cars are being bombed. Like, it's not working as it used to. What's the pshat? The pshat is that it doesn't work. The Iron Dome doesn't work. It's the Rebbe Hashem that's protecting Klal Yisrael. And the second that he doesn't want the Shmirah to happen, then there's no Shmirah. And he's showing us that, you know, don't be so overconfident. And if we are overconfident and we risk being Miktani Emana, then we could lose the war because of that overconfidence. Kadosh Baruch Hu is fine. Now he's back on our team. Everything is good again. It was a slight mishap, but now we're good. Now that Tzal is in charge. Really? Tzal is in charge again? Is that true? There's still terrorists are still slipping through, and Lebanon is heating up, and Syria is shooting missiles, and, you know, and the Arab street is going crazy. And I saw it tonight in Toronto. You know, Toronto is such a, you know, you think of Toronto, it's like apple, you know, apple pie and, you know, and motherhood. It's like, it's such a nice city, clean, you know, pristine, nice from Jewish community, good, right? There's thousands of Arabs, I don't know which part of Toronto it is, and what are they chanting? Cut their heads off, cut their heads off. About Jews. Like, they're not like being ashamnu bagadnu about what happened on Simchas Torah. They're all for it. This is great. The hospital gets killed. Every newspaper in the world all of a sudden goes with Hamas's version of the story that, you know, the Jews bombed the hospital, 500 people in the hospital are dead. And the world, the street loves it. The whole world is going crazy against the Jews. There's a gezeira that's taking place, and I'm not saying this to scare anybody. I hope I'm not. And I know we're all frightened enough. Maybe you don't need to hear more, but it's very important to understand this yisayid of Reb Pinkas, because this is what we're living through right now. And what Reb Pinkas is saying is you have a choice. You can either do the Nayach approach to life, or you could do the Mardechai approach to life. If you do the Nayach approach to life and you say, yeah, things are going to be good, that's Miktani Emunah. That's not Emunah. That's Miktani Emunah. If you think everything is going to be good, everything is fine, you know, we had a bad, it was a hiccup, but now Tzal, Kol HaKavod L'Tzal, everything is good again. We're safe, we're strong, we're powerful, we're you know, we have F-35s and we're bombing the heck out of them and good, keep going. And you're saying, the Gzera is going to go away, Hashem Zerach HaPayim, nothing is going to happen. Baloney. Then you're going to basically bring a mabul. Mardechai didn't rest on his laurels and say everything is going to be good. But Mardechai said, if there's a gzera that Haman is doing l'hashpal haragalbe, I have to take it really seriously, and I have to daven like there's no tomorrow, and I have to be able to really ask and plead and beg and scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save me. Because if you don't, then you risk complacency, and with complacency, we're dead. So who's a bigger tzaddik, Mardechai or Nayach? You think, well, Nayach, he believed that Hashem is a nice, everything's going to be good. No. That's not what Hashem wants. If Hashem is sending a gzeira, he wants us to up our game. He wants us to respond with tshuva, with tefillah, with tzedakah, with za'aka, with lich neisus klal Yisrael gatherings. All the Tillum gatherings that you see around the world, in Borough Park, and in Lakewood, and in Queens, and in Eretz Yisrael, and Far Rockaway. You know, beautiful to see Klal Yisrael coming together. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's what Mardechai did. But he says you have to, in our generation, or Pinkas is written, you know, decades ago, wasn't talking about this situation, but there's always such situations. Everybody has to put in Bechi Udumais, tears, in order that the matzav doesn't get worse. Bidar shel tapuchais mehiris kalkach, with such quick changing events, yeshlach shesh meiruim hakarim bepesapism. There's sudden things, and we see that. We see it on the news. Like, if you miss an hour of your updates, you know, of the news, like, I don't know if anyone else is as obsessed with the news as I am, but, like, I just want to keep on getting the news feed. Like, I need to see what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. And like if you miss it for like 2 hours or so, you miss like a major thing that happened. Like that hospital. That was a made Baruch Hashem, it ended up that it wasn't Eretz Yisrael that did. It wasn't, you know, and it's good that they had proof. It's amazing that they had proof. They had a conversation between two Arabs talking about how it wasn't an Israeli bomb, it was an Islamic Jihad bomb. Everyone know what I'm talking about? So, you know, that's, you know, that it just happened to me. And there was videos also showing and improving it. But if not for that, the world was going crazy against Israel. And they were taking pictures of these babies, dead babies, and like, it's all, things could change in a second. Don't be so confident. Oh, now we have the American president coming to Israel. That means we have, you know, there's big warships, an American war. Don't believe it. Those warships could go back home in 3 seconds. If not for, if that hospital thing was not proven, I don't think Biden would have come, and I don't think the planes would go home, and who knows what would happen. It just, and tomorrow there might be another hospital that blows up by Eretz Yisrael or whatever, some other, there's no winning. It's a very short, this honeymoon between Eretz Yisrael and the world, you know, those civilized countries that get it, they get it today, but tomorrow the popular, you know, the popular word on the street is going to change, and you see already it's changing, and there's protests in big countries, and then politics gets in the way, and votes get in the way, and suddenly, you know, they're not so friendly, and they're giving Eretz Yisrael aces how what not to do. So you can't be complacent. Things, the situation is fluid, it changes very quickly. Yesh lachshesh meirim, things happen immediately, an instant, in real time. Again, I'm sorry that we didn't have, I didn't photocopy the next page. But he says that you have to really be scared that, you know, what could happen, what could take place. You always have to be very, very much on, you have to be very, very concerned about events and about things. And you can't like say, it's going to be all right. We should have that feeling in a sense, right? We think that that's what Emunah B'Tachin is. Emunah is like, everything's going to be okay. But that's not really what Emunah B'Tachin is. Emunah B'Tachin means that I don't know what's going to be. But I just know that whatever happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show and there's a cheshbon. That's as far as Emunah B'Tachin doesn't mean, hey, everything's going to be fine. It's chill. Let's go, you know, let's go bowl. Everything is going to be fine, Eretz Yisrael. I have Emunah. That's not Emunah. That's tipshus. Emunah means I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. I believe that there's a cheshbon for everything. I believe there's a gezerah, but I have to do everything that I can personally to change it, to fix things, because I can fix things. If I daven and I learn and I do chesed, these are things that we could do ourselves in this room, in, you know, in America. You don't have to be necessarily in Eretz Yisrael and packing up and you know, doing things for the chayalim there. You could do things for the chayalim here. You could daven and you can learn. All these things are major things to help the war effort. But if you're just saying, nah, it's fine, it's going to be good. That's not the right attitude. That's the last attitude. It's going to be fine. What happened? He was miktani amana. And the mabul mamash had to push him in because he didn't get it. He thought things are going to be fine. When you think things are not going to be fine, then you could do something better. Then you're going to be galvanized to do something real. If you really understand that there is an existential threat to Klal Yisrael, which there really is, I don't think in my lifetime, for sure not, you know, but since the Holocaust, you know, there's never been such an existential threat that we have as today. Yom Kippur War was pretty bad, and the 67 War, you know, before they actually preempted, but you know, there were times that it was very bad, but not like today. Today is really bad. If the whole world stops right now, 1,300 Jews dying in one day, is that acceptable? Is that normal? 199 people taken hostage in right now as we speak in conditions that we can't even understand. Is that normal? If there would be one hostage, there was one hostage, I don't know if you remember, it was before you were born, I don't know, Gilad Shalit. And he was like an Israeli soldier. He was taken captive in Gaza, and the whole country was up in arms. They had to get Gilad Shalit back, and rightfully so. They ended up trading 1,000 terrorists for Gilad Shalit. For one soldier, it was like a huge deal for, I don't know how long it took by the time, it wasn't like, oh, I'm making it out like it was 2 minutes later. It was like a whole year, 2 years, 3 years before they got him back. It was a very big cheshbon, should we or shouldn't we? It turns out, by the way, that a lot of those terrorists that they returned were responsible for what happened on Simchas Torah. They just killed somebody in Gaza that was responsible for Gilad Shalit. And it says that he, you know, and he was the mastermind. He was a terrorist that was released with a Gilad Shalit deal, And he was one of the people that was the mastermind of so it's not such a pasha thing to give back 1,000 taras. These aren't, you know, Boy Scouts that you're giving back for but that's one chayal. And here they have 199 Jewish lives in captivity. It's not a number that we can even begin to grasp. And we mamash need Mashiach to get us out of this mess. It's a terrible mess. A terrible, terrible mess. It's like, but the worst thing that we could do is be complacent. No, we're having that kind of look at it. Let Bibi will figure it out. You know, Bibi didn't figure out Simchas Torah before it happened. You know, where was everybody? B'derech HaDeva. Don't be so confident in the Chayalim and in the security and in the Shin Bet and all the people that these are. The Rabbeinu Shem, Hashem lo yishmer irshav. If Hashem doesn't guard the city, then everything else is nothing. All these guards and the shotrim and whatever, kalach kova, but like it's not, they didn't do anything. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmira that really protects Klal Yisrael. And there's a gezeirah right now on us, and you see the whole world is like, Jewish blood is spilling in the streets, it's cheap, and we need to, Ein Lanu Lishon El Avinu Shebashamayim, there's only the Rabbeinu Shalom. We can't rely on any, don't rely on the Americans and the French and the British, rely only on the Rabbeinu Shalom, and daven like you've never davened before, and I'm talking to myself, because these are days that our tefillos are so impactful and so precious and so powerful. And we might be the ones that are saving Klal Yisrael. You know, if you have like a messianic complex and you want to be Mashiach, you want to save the world, this is your opportunity. Now's the time to save the world. And you don't know, it might be your tefillah that's going to save the world. A good Ma'ariv, a good Shacharis, a good Tilim, right, could really make the difference. It could turn the tide. But don't be miktane amana. Don't assume everything's going to be fine. Hashem's Erech HaPaim, it's going to have a happy ending. It always has a happy ending. Really? It always has a happy ending? I don't know about that. If you study Jewish history, very often it didn't have such happy endings. Tach v'tat wasn't a happy ending, and the Holocaust wasn't happy, a Spanish Inquisition wasn't a happy ending, Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, etc. Many not happy endings in Jewish history. We're here to talk about it, Baruch Hashem, but that doesn't make it a happy ending. And I don't know what this war's ending is going to be, but I don't think it's going to be... I'm not naive enough to believe that, you know, it's all going to be good and whatever. And if I did, don't think that's not bitachon. That's being just ridiculously superficial and small-minded. You have to be nervous. You have to take part in the tzara. It's an esar liyakov. You have to feel it a little bit. And I think we do feel it. But we have to do things to try to really galvanize Klal Yisrael, lechneis es Klal Yehudim, and do things on your own, by the way. Don't wait for yeshiva to make a tilim rally or this or, you know, or speeches or like get together as a grand, do something on your own, make an extra seder on your own or figure out, make a kumzitz or, you know, do something for the chayalim or whatever it is. Do something yourselves, like build, like think about it. What can I do? You know, the greatest thing you can do is learn a little extra Torah. But if you don't want to learn extra Torah, you want to do something that's more lemaisa, so fine. Make a drive, a clothing drive, or figure out what they need and whatever it is, but do something. Don't assume that it's going to all be taken care of by itself. It's not. It's on you and it's on me. It's a gzeri milfanei, but don't be miktane amana. Be like Mardechai Tzadik that did everything that he could, recognizing and feeling that it's a real esar liyakov, and we're going to get together, we're going to daven, we're going to do what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants, and that will be the Yeshua. The Yeshua will come when we take it so seriously and we assume the worst, then the best can happen. But if we assume the best and we don't take it to the Shem, say, really? You're so confident that I'm just going to be Erech HaPaim? That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So these are, it's like ripped from the headlines. Sometimes you learn a Pasuk Chumash with Reb Pinkas and you mamash see like the Hashkafas HaChaim that we have to adopt for ourselves in these important days.